Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you. We're joined today by Andrew Farley. And Andrew, thanks for being with us again. It's so awesome when you can join us on the broadcast. And I know our listeners love hearing from you.
Yeah, it's a great to spend this week with you, Bob. We're doing a special thing this week, and it's fun to tag team and interact with callers.
Yes, it is. It really is. We just completed the Stand 2014 conference last weekend. It went from Thursday to Saturday, and boy, that was a fantastic experience, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We had John Lynch there joining us, the three of us, as well as some other guys chipping in to make for a kind of a power-packed weekend full of truth. A lot of the response we got was just, lives were being transformed, and people were hearing things, things they kind of knew in their hearts about the goodness of God. But when you start looking at the scripture and put a little flesh on it, it's just wow, the gospel is so incredible.
Yes, it is. There was a lady there. She was in her mid-30s, and she heard a radio commercial on a local station here in Dallas and thought, wow, that sounds like an interesting conference. So she registered. She had never heard of Basic Gospel. She had never heard of you or your ministry, and never had heard of John Lynch. She just thought the idea of learning how to stand in the good news of Jesus Christ was appealing. And so she came, and I had a chance to talk with her at the end of it, and she said, I've heard the gospel in ways that I've never heard it explained before, and it really just has connected all the dots. And she's involved with a group that meets here in Dallas, a singles group, primarily made up of the 20-something and 30-something crowd. And she kept saying, gosh, if we could just get this good news to that age group, if they could just hear the way it was delivered here, it would just change everything. And I thought, wow, what a powerful story. And just got an email today from Max Beal, who lives out in Phoenix, and he said, congratulations and thank you for a great conference. Sherry and I were truly blessed to have attended. And he says, I look forward to Stand 2015. And, these events, they don't come around very often. But when they do, I certainly encourage people to take advantage of them, to come and just immerse yourselves in the Word of God and hear what God has to say about His Son. It's powerful stuff. It's life-changing stuff. And I think that's what we saw there at the conference. And one of the things that we talked about is how the Holy Spirit teaches us to say no to sin. I think that's where so many people struggle. They make it their goal to stop sinning in life, and the more they try to achieve that goal in life, the further away from it they become. They just can't do it. And so there's a great passage in Titus that says the grace of God has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. How does the Holy Spirit make that happen in our lives? How does He bring us to that point where we're actually saying no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ?
Software updates. I mean, that's the way I look at it, Bob. You've just got software updates. Romans calls it the renewing of the mind. It says that we're going to be transformed as we get software updates in our thinking. So, when we become a Christian, we get new spiritual hardware. You take a computer home from the Best Buy store and you open it up, get it out of the box, plug it in. It's awesome. It's shiny. It's new. It's beautiful. And you love it. But, you might be on that computer 6 or 8 minutes, and then suddenly you realize you need some software updates. And that's what the renewing of the mind is for us. We've got the new heart. We've got the new heartware, if you want to call it that. We've got the heart transplant and the new spiritual DNA. We've got Christ living in us, his nature living in us and his spirit. And you just go, wow, that's so amazing. And yet, still, there's something under construction. There's something in process. And so it's a lifelong adventure of learning to think differently. Bob, I've never met a Christian that's mired in sin and loves it, mired in sin and is just anything else but miserable. So God is in the business of saving us from misery. We don't want to sin at the core. And, it's high time that we Christians sort of realize that instead of thinking we want to sin but shouldn't. Really, God is counseling us to realize, no, I don't even want to sin.
Yeah, I remember years ago, Andrew, somebody had come to Christ and was involved in one of the Bible studies that I was involved in. And, he had struggled with alcohol most of his life. And when he came to Christ, initially that desire went away. And 3 or 4 months later, he gave in to a temptation, and boy, that just broke his heart. I mean, to the point where he was weeping over that choice. And, I said to him, did you ever weep, when you chose to drink before you came to Christ, before you became a Christian, before he came to live inside of you? He said, absolutely not. That's what I wanted to do. Mm. And I said, see, you don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And you're responding to that. I mean, that's just more evidence that you truly are saved, that you truly belong to Christ, and that he's alive, living in you. And that gave him some hope, and that enabled him to just move forward to say, hey, I blew it here, but God's not finished with me. He's completing the work. He's continuing to do his work inside of me. And several years later, alcohol wasn't a problem anymore. There was no, even desire when temptation knocked. That's just the power of Christ living in us.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an input-output thing, I think. We've got certain input going in, and then we expect certain output to come out. I mean, if you're filling your head with all kinds of input that says, this is where I find fulfillment. This is where I find joy. This is where I find satisfaction, because I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. And that's just what dirty, rotten sinners do. Well, if that's the input that's filling your head, then guess what the output is going to look like emotionally and in your performance. So what we're talking about is, hey, don't put a Band-Aid on the output. I mean, don't just try your best to avoid sin. Try your hardest in human effort to stay away from sin. No, we're not talking about the output. It all starts with the input, with the thoughts we're thinking, with the belief systems we have about ourselves. And, Bob, I think that's why we at Basic Gospel are just so adamant about the believer's identity being real and being now, that we have new hearts, that we don't want to sin, that we really have had our old heart ripped out, and we've had a DNA swap, and that's now. It's not just later when we get a new body in heaven. It's now.
So we truly have been changed. We truly have crossed over from death to life. We truly have become a new creature in Christ. And as we understand, exactly who we've become, then we're going to find ourselves saying no to sin. That's just how God has set it up. That's how he's designed it. That's how he works in us. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Andrew Farley today. We welcome your call to the program. If you have a question about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives or any other Bible passage, we invite you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. It's a toll-free number, so go ahead and dial it, 1-800-677-9377. Well, Andrew, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Peter listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is predestination. The elders in my church believe that they do not believe in predestination. And I've heard convincing arguments on both sides. I've heard Dr. Michael Brown debated with James White. The thing is, we have our church, our main mission is we go out and evangelize. And sometimes this question comes up. It doesn't affect my salvation, but it does seem I don't really have a concrete answer. Could you give me some help on that?
Well, Peter, I think we can give you some great help on that. And, from several different perspectives, we're going to take it out of the realm of the yous and me's, and we're going to put it in the context in which those passages are actually written. And I think when we see it that way, instead of becoming a divisive doctrine, it really becomes a doctrine of unity. That we can really circle around and rejoice in, knowing that we belong to Christ and that we belong to one another. So, Andrew, how do we go about looking at predestination? What is the context for those great passages in the Bible, particularly Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 and Romans 9 through 11? What is Paul trying to get at in those great chapters?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's a very common belief system today that God is engaging in individual selection. And that's the most common way to look at predestination, is that God went down the city block and he says heaven, hell, hell, heaven, hell. And he's choosing certain people for heaven, and then certain people are destined for hell. And I don't think that's the context of Ephesians or Romans, really. Let's start with Ephesians. When you begin in chapter 1 and you go all the way to chapter 3 in Ephesians, basically Paul is saying, and I quote, he chose us. He chose us Jews. He predestined us. He predestined us Jews. That's what his meaning is here. We who were the first to put our hope in Christ. Well, who was the first to put their hope in Christ? Well, that would be the Jews. And then verse 13 of chapter 1 says, and you also. So you get it there that we see that us, we were predestined, and you also were included when you believed. So really, it's a you plural. It's like in Texas when we say y'all. So Paul is saying y'all Ephesians were predestined too. So it's not a you singular. I know we pick up our Bibles and we see the word you and we think it means us individually. But of course, Ephesians was written to thousands of people in Ephesus. And so when they pick it up and read it publicly, they are seeing that it's a you plural, that it's written to the whole city of believers, that it's written to the whole city, and whosoever in that city will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. So as you look at chapter 2, he says, formerly you who are Gentiles, you were separate, you were far away, but now God has made the two groups one. Well, what are the two groups? They're Jews and Gentiles. So, Peter, I think the most important thing is to realize, number one, Paul is using a you plural, and it's written to thousands of people. And then he's distinguishing between two groups. He's saying we Jews were the first to hope in Christ. But here's a news flash. Even you dirty Gentiles, even you dirty Romans, even you dirty Ephesians, you too were predestined to receive this gospel. And now whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, you know, do we believe in predestination? Yes, predestination is biblical. But what does predestination mean? Well, it means that all the nations are now blessed through Abraham, and that whoever from any nation, any people group, whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved.
It's good news, right? Isn't it, Peter?
That's fantastic. I mean, this is what my church preaches. This is what I learned. And we're out there preaching. I mean, we're looking to save souls in our community, and we're very active in our community, and we've seen fruit come from our street ministry. And, you know, so this subject came up about predestination, and now I understand the issue really is, what is the definition of predestination? Thank you so much. That clears
it up. All right, Peter. Thank you.
God bless you.
Well, thank you, Peter. Thanks for your call. That is one of the most unifying messages in the Word of God, when we can see that Jew and Gentile have become one in Christ Jesus. That's what was predestined from the very get-go, and we see that being carried out as God gets his message concerning his Son to people of both Jewish background and Gentile background and puts us together in the body of Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I wanted to announce a couple of exciting events that are upcoming. First, on July 16th, Andrew, you will be in the Bronx at the World Changers Church. I think that's a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And certainly invite all of our New York listeners to join you there. I think that's going to be an exciting time for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. It'll be a Wednesday night. I'll have about an hour to share a message there at World Changers Church at 7 p.m. July 16 in the Bronx. And then you, my friend, you're going to be up there in, I guess, downtown Manhattan area just shortly after that, a few days later.
Yeah, the next week on July 24th for the WMCA live event. It's at the American Bible Society in the atrium of the American Bible Society. I will be joining Kevin McCullough, who does a live broadcast every day, Monday through Friday on WMCA. And then we will be broadcasting Basic Gospel Live that afternoon. It's a free event, but we ask that you register for that so that we can prepare the space necessary. And we have a link to the registration site right on our homepage at basicgospel.net. You will see one of the scroll windows that says Live Broadcast, WMCA 570 AM. Just click that and follow all the instructions on how to register. But come out and see both Andrew, July the 16th at the World Changers Church, 7 p.m. That's a Wednesday night in the Bronx. And then come to Manhattan on July 24th. The festivities that day start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and will go through 5, so you can just come at any time during those hours. I would love to meet you, to shake your hand, and just cultivate a wonderful relationship around this love of God that's been extended to us in Christ Jesus. So two exciting events coming up just in the near future in the New York City area. Well, Andrew, let's go to New York and talk with Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Bob and Andrew. And, Bob, I'd like to say thank you very much for putting me on, and I love you guys, and you know, I think you're doing a wonderful job. Let me just say one thing about the previous caller that might help. It says in first epistle of Peter, verse 2, it says God predestined us according to his foreknowledge. So that might help, you know, to try to clarify the issue a little bit. I had originally called Bob for, I wanted to talk a little bit more about eternal security, you know my position on this topic. And I just wanted to give your listeners an opportunity to realize that eternal security was never, ever taught by any of the church fathers. They were unanimous in the concept that it was possible for a man to it was possible for him to lose his salvation. You could see this in the Didache, which was written in 70 A.D. Hermas said this in his Shepherd in 80 A.D. Ignatius of Antioch, who was a pupil of the Apostle John, said this in his letter to
Frank. Church fathers said various things, and people have said various things through church history. But I think we just have to keep going back to the Word of God and to explore exactly what Jesus Christ accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's, you know, salvation, and Andrew, you and I have talked about this so often, salvation is much more than merely forgiveness of sins or receiving a golden ticket that grants us entry into heaven when we die. I mean, there's something that changes, I mean, radically changes when we go from death to life. And once we do that, I mean, we belong to God forever. I mean, God puts us in his hands and Jesus' hands, and both say no one can snatch us out of his hands. I mean, we are safe and secure. And I was thinking about this today, Andrew, when God declares us to be righteous, and when we see that in the gospel there's a revelation of the righteousness of God. So what that means as far as the righteousness of God is concerned is it has something to do with his faithfulness to keep his promises. So if he went back on his promise to save us, you know, I'm going to save you through faith in Jesus Christ, by grace through faith, and then he went back on that and allowed you to walk away, that would impugn his righteousness. That would say something about his character.
Yeah.
But the fact that he has said clearly that he saves us completely means something. It means he really is righteous.
It's like the Old Testament character, you know, Pharaoh, who promised the Israelites they could go, and then as soon as they were 10 minutes out the door, he changes his mind and says, let's go get them. That's a dirty double crosser there. And then the New Covenant, Jesus says, I remember your sins no more. So he doesn't say, I remember your sins no more unless you sin too much. And I want to comment on Frank's remark about 1 Peter and predestination. It's interesting because that passage really affirms what we were saying earlier. 1 Peter 1, verse 2 was the verse that was brought up. It says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge. Well, that sounds like individual selection of Christians, but it's not. Because the previous verse says, strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So that's the whole point, is that Peter is a Jewish man, and he is blown over by the fact that in God's foreknowledge, God chose to pick the nations of Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and in fact all Gentile nations to receive this gospel. And wow, the fact that those people can be saved too. This was on Peter's heart in his first chapter.
Right, I agree with
well,
that.
Well, Frank, let me jump in. We've got to, I'd like to move on. We've got another caller on the line. But Frank, I hope you will come join us in July, either to see Andrew July 16th or to come to the WMCA live event on the 24th. All the information is right there. I would love to meet you face-to-face and shake your hand. So I hope you will come and join us.
Yeah, if I could make it, definitely I would love to meet you guys. And I wasn't trying to set up a polemical, you know, argument there.
Sure.
I was just trying to say, Bob, that this was the teaching of the early church, you know, and I could expound a lot more on it. I know we don't have any time.
Yeah, well, appreciate your call, Frank, as always. Well, we're going to quickly go out to Halsey, Oregon, and talk with Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. We're just short on time, so make it quick, okay?
Question I had was, is our obedience have anything to do with salvation?
Well, it doesn't. If it did, we'd be up a creek. We'd be having a law-based life where our obedience dictated God's response, but instead it was Jesus' obedience. He was obedient unto death. And what we have now is a gospel that's based on his death, his resurrection, not our obedience. In fact, anything that we call obedience today comes as a response to what he's already done for us and in us.
Yeah, it's
so the question I have then is, like you said, we can't go off church tradition or teachings of men, but the Bible itself, Hebrews 5:9, says that he perfected the salvation to those who obey. Obedience, biblically speaking, not Augustine or the Gnostics like you're teaching.
Well, yeah. in that case, Bob, that's talking about faith. He said those that died in the wilderness, they did so because they heard the message, but they did not combine it with faith. So he's talking about a heart response to the message. That's what faith is all about. And then that spells itself out in action later on. Bob, we're out of time. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. Important subject. We'll certainly talk more about that maybe on tomorrow's broadcast. invite you to join us then at this same time. My name is Bob Christopher, and Andrew, thanks for joining us. I want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We need your help. We need your support to keep the good news going out over the airwaves. Join us. Become a Basic Gospel partner today. Go to basicgospel.net and follow all the instructions there. We'll see you again tomorrow at this same time.